What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the Drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
All right, so Donald Trump is able to capitalize on Alvin Bragg being a disgrace, and he said it's Alvin Bragg's fault. Railed against his handling of crime in New York City. Good for him. There's an arrest warrant out for State Representative Kevin Boyle, who yelled at a bartender, "Do you know who I am? You know who I am?" And so much more fun, including Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, about to throw his own wife under the bus. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. This is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place, and we'll be there for our next live show on Friday, May 3rd. Are you coming? You better be coming. It's going to be a fantastic show. A lot of fun, a lot of craziness, and hijinks will ensue. And I am told that both Matt DeSanctitraitoris and Henry Machette will be there in person. The entire Zeoli Show team live on site.
Is that a selling point, though? Like, I can't imagine anyone's going out of their way to see the broadcast just so they can get a glimpse of Henry and I.
I disagree. I think you're a fan fave. I think the chicks dig you guys. With ladies.
I wish that were true.
We don't say chicks anymore.
We like to say people kind, right. Not necessarily mankind.
Thank you.
More inclusive.
Yes, it's more inclusive. So, no, I think they love you. I think they can't wait to see you.
Well, I'm excited now, too.
See? Look at that. Excited? Henry, is excited?
I think I'm more excited to see the listeners. So.
See? Right? Am I right?
He's just kissing up. Now I look like the bad guy.
Yeah, you don't want to see anybody because you're too good for them. You're an elite Harvard first-class flying snob. You look down on them.
No, I do not.
You look down on our
They're
people.
So nice. They're
look at
so
him in
nice
his Johns Hopkins crew neck just sticking
chilly.
His nose up.
It was chilly. I put on a sweatshirt, so sue me.
Yeah, you're chilly?
I was chilly,
I'm taking away your man card. Not that you ever had one, but if you did, I'd take it away right now. Chilly.
It was chilly out. It was warm the
He's
last
He's going to be whining
days.
How Cape May's chilly and May 3rd, you know.
God, this sea breeze is just too much.
Yeah, this refreshing breeze, it's too chilly.
Well, you know what? People can see this.
You feeling your man nips stand out? Is that what's happening? Huh?
If it's chilly, people can see this handsome Johns Hopkins sweatshirt in person in May.
Nobody wants to see that. Besides, you have to wear your Zeoli Army gear. I think it's part of your contract, isn't it?
They haven't even given me a Zeoli Army shirt. I've asked a million times. I don't get anything.
Yeah, I don't have one either.
That's amazing.
Well, what are you going to do?
I always feel guilty keeping one for myself because I don't want to take something that could go to a listener.
I know.
But I would like one.
It'd be nice. I'd like one, too. My wife has one. She flaunts it around.
How'd she get it?
Well, she's my wife.
Oh, okay.
I'm married to her, but she has the ladies' cut, so it's not even like I could wear it.
Nepotism.
You know? Yeah. That's right. That's right. I was going to throw her under the bus and not give her one, like Bob Menendez is about to throw his wife under the bus, Nadine, but I decided against it.
That's my favorite story.
I love this, too. When I saw this yesterday, I sent it right to you at like 10:30 at night. I said, oh, this is great.
I didn't think it was real at first.
But before I get to that story, I have to get to this one. Because this headline is just amazing. So I'm going to read this to you. And just as a reminder, all right, and just how crazy the world is. Furry hackers target far-right news outlet behind Charlie Kirk and Steve Bannon. Gay furries, this is a thing, leaked data from this story calls it a far-right media outlet. It's not far-right media, but whatever. As part of its ongoing campaign against organizations deemed transphobic. The hackers announced in a statement on Telegram the targeting of Real America's Voice, a streaming cable and satellite television channel known for promoting conspiracy theories and misinformation. Again, I'm reading this from the story. The hack reveals the personal information of 1,200 individuals on their app, such as full names, phone numbers, email addresses. We also want proof on their files. We wiped the user data from their API and wiped their AWS bucket. You see, these psychos, they don't want free speech. They don't want open communication. They don't want dialogue. They don't want they're here to disrupt. They're here to disrupt. And they're gay furries. And what does that mean? That means they dress up like animals. That's what a furry is. A furry is somebody who dresses up in an animal costume and then gets, I guess, turned on by that. It's like a fetish.
Is this the same group of gay furry hackers that breached a nuclear lab and demanded catgirl research last year?
I believe it is. I believe it's the same group of gay furry hackers.
Yeah, I guess how many?
How many groups of gay furry hackers can there be?
That was a dumb question. You're right. I wasn't thinking.
It's a different group of gay furry hackers. It's a different one.
I'm sorry. It sounds stupid now in hindsight. You're right. Yeah, there's not a lot. I can't imagine there's a lot of them.
They get stuff done.
I mean, they're good. They're good at what they do. It's just a shame that they keep trying to destroy freedom of speech. But I just had to share that headline with you. Gay furry hackers. You didn't have that in your hellscape bingo card for the day, did you? All right. Now to Bob Menendez. So the New Jersey senator is one of the most corrupt human beings on the planet. He really is. But that's not the reason why they're going after him. They're going after him because he opposed the Biden-Iran deal. And he opposed the Obama-Iran deal. And that's why they're going after Bob Menendez. Everybody knew he was corrupt. Nobody doubted it. His wife, Nadine, there's a story, and it's true. It really happened. She killed a guy with her car. She killed a guy. She was driving home late one night, killed a guy, made a phone call. And people showed up, and she was let go from the scene. No breathalyzer, no DUI test, no blood test, nothing. She said the guy walked out into the road. She killed a guy. Guy dies. And they didn't even take a breathalyzer. Nothing. They literally, you talk about privilege. You talk about Jersey privilege. This is shot. I mean, I still can't believe this happened, but it did. Somebody made a call and then somebody showed up and then she left. Now, you ask cops about something like that. You're driving home, you kill a guy. It doesn't, they say, oh, he walked into the road, whatever it is. They do an investigation. There was no investigation done. She literally was allowed to go. The question she asked that night, she wasn't concerned about the man she killed, was who's going to pay for the damage of her Mercedes? The Mercedes, mind you, that she got through the corruption of her husband, Senator Bob Menendez, selling out the United States of America. So now, according to a story from Politico, he may blame his wife for actions that led to a federal bribery case against him. A newly unsealed court filing suggests, remember, kids, all's fair in love and war. The senator's legal team plans to try to show the absence of any improper intent on Senator Menendez's part by demonstrating the ways in which his wife, Nadine Menendez, withheld information from Senator Menendez or otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place. So remember, as bad as you think your wife or husband is, it's not this bad. Because this is throwing your wife under the legal bus bad. That's something that not even jewelry from Lee Pavorsky can fix. I mean, there's no fix to this. I don't know how you mend those fences. Flowers ain't gonna do it. Honey, I threw you under the bus legally and you're going to prison, but I got you Godiva chocolates. I don't think it works that way. In a mid-March legal filing, Menendez's legal team tried to keep those exact words under seal because they believed having that defense strategy public would taint the jury pool. But a reporter at NBC New York and then a coalition of media organizations, including Politico, fought to make those sentences public. On Thursday, federal judge Sidney Stein ordered their release. Now, previously, Senator Menendez's legal team said having this particular defense strategy public threatens to bias the jury pool and consequently to interfere with Senator Menendez and his wife's right to a fair trial. Let's understand a couple things here now. The accusation is basically this. Bob Menendez sold out the United States of America to Egypt and Qatar and did so in exchange for gold bars and cars and cash. Also helped his developer friends, helped a buddy of his get the contract to give out all the to make all the meat halal certified in Egypt, even though the guy had no expertise doing this. He's the chairman of, I would argue, the most powerful committee in the Senate outside of APROPS, which is the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He's got access to classified intelligence briefings. And most importantly, as chairman of that committee, he has the ability to kill foreign aid bills that come before him. It's a ton of power. So there was pressure over the years to get Egypt to do better on human rights records. And Menendez wasn't interested in that. He made sure the money flowed to Egypt regardless because the money was flowing back to him. Not directly from Egypt, mind you, but from the people that were making money in those two countries. And then they would pay off Menendez. That's the allegation by the United States of America. Everybody knew this was happening. See, I've told you before, two things can be true at the same time. This guy's guilty as hell, but they only went after him because he dared to cross Obama on Iran. That was the first time he was indicted. There was a hung jury after that. And then this time around, because he crossed Obama again through his puppet Joe Biden on the Iran deal. He opposed it. He opposed unfreezing that $6 billion. So that's why Menendez is now going to trial. Otherwise, they would have said, you be a good, corrupt little boy and do your thing and no problem. But when you cross them, that's when they come after you. But he's guilty. There's no doubt in my mind about that. The language it sought to redact came in part of a larger 50-page legal filing that argued the senator and his wife should have separate trials. Senator Menendez's attorney said spousal privilege, which prevents one spouse from being forced to testify against another and allows one spouse to prevent the other from testifying, would complicate his defense against the federal charges. So his wife was granted a separate trial after she asked for a delay, citing a serious medical condition that federal prosecutors and the judge took seriously. The senator's trial is expected to begin on May 6th in Manhattan, along with two co-defendants. The senator faces corruption charges alleging he accepted gold bars, wads of cash, and gifts to act as an unregistered foreign agent, interfere in state and federal prosecutions, and help this guy's halal meat certification business keep a lucrative exclusive contract with the Egyptian government. Now, prosecutors are seeking a delay because of issues involving an attorney for one of the other defendants. And the judge is going to hear arguments about that actually this morning. So according to what's been released, he's going to throw the missus under the legal bus. Blame her for everything. Oh, love. I tell you, when true love is real, it makes you feel so warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it? Huh? This is not Menendez's first go-round, the marriage carousel, if you're wondering. Not his first wife. Shocking, I know. I'm just as shocked as you are. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you'd like to weigh in today on everything we are discussing. And as of right now, the other local story we're following is looking to see if, in fact, Pennsylvania State Representative Kevin Boyle will be turned into police, will turn himself into police as there's an arrest warrant out for him by the Philadelphia Police Department. So that's what is going on here as well. At 5:30, we're going to talk to Julie Kelly. Julie Kelly has been following the case of J6 and particularly how people are being treated and that the federal government is trying to use the Sarbanes-Oxley financial reform, which was passed in the wake of Enron shredding documents to go against people who were exercising their First Amendment rights on protesting on January 6th. I'm not talking about people that kicked in windows or committed any violence. I'm talking about people that were just protesting. This idea that they were disrupting an official proceeding, that question. Now, as part of this this story here about Menendez, and this is absolutely amazing. The New York Times says that Ms. Menendez's trial day was postponed. The senator's wife were accused of getting the luxury car. That's the one that she used to kill somebody. And according to all of this, the legal strategy arose for the first time when they were going to have separate trials. And that's when his legal team decided at that point, hey, guess what? We can now throw her under the bus since she's going to have her own trial. Oh, I love it. In the newly unredacted portions of the legal brief, Mr. Menendez's lawyers add that while these explanations and the marital communications on which they rely will tend to exonerate Senator Menendez by demonstrating the absence of any improper intent on the senator's part, they may inculpate Nadine by demonstrating the ways in which she withheld information from her husband or otherwise led him to believe that nothing unlawful was taking place. Boom. They got married in 2020. They'll be divorced in 2024. I imagine. I don't know. I don't know if marriage counseling can help you get through that one. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. You sit, that's awkward, right? You're sitting there in the marriage, the therapy room. The guy goes, you know, we're in the treehouse of trust. And it's like, why are you here? Well, so my husband and I were both charged with federal offenses and selling out our country for gold bars and cars and cash. And he totally threw me under the bus. And now I have to go to prison. Okay, Bob, is there anything you'd like to say to Nadine? Nadine's trying to be honest and open with you. Bob, I'm sorry, honey. Lawyers, what are you going to do? If that marriage counselor can heal that, that guy's good. You know what I'm saying? Or that woman, that person's good.
We like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind. It's more inclusive.
Right. That person is good. It's a good therapist. Am I right?
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, there are therapists out there who have had to unite, you know, bring couples back together after infidelity, after losing a child. I mean, really horrific things. But sending one of them to the Huskow, selling them out in federal court, that, I don't know if there's a healing process for that. Honey, I'm sorry I sent you to federal prison by turning on you in court, but I got you this necklace. It was on sale at Costco. It's like half carat. Just saying. Couldn't really afford much else because they confiscated all our funds, but, you know. Get her card. Is there like a please forgive me for selling you out to the feds card that a husband can give his wife?
It's a very specific Hallmark card.
Yeah, you imagine asking for that. You go to the local Hallmark store. Hey, I threw my wife under the legal bus and now she's going to federal prison. Did you have a card for that? Or do I just do like a standard, like get well, see you soon card? Or so we did have one. We're all out though. We're fresh out of those cards. It's a damn shame. Doesn't his wife have major health issues, too? Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It's like, well, honey, you're probably going to die in prison anyway. Look at the bright side.
Oh. Yeah, that's why her trial was postponed. She has a serious medical condition that requires surgery.
Yeah. He's like, listen, here, bright side, you're going to get the best medical care in prison possible. They've got really good doctors there. The best of the best. Ms. Menendez, according to a federal indictment, played a central role in the conspiracy. Prosecutors said she served as a go-between who transferred messages between her husband, their co-defendants, and Egyptian officials. Several of the alleged bribes, a Mercedes-Benz convertible, mortgage payments, and a low or no-show job, were provided to Ms. Menendez. Earlier on Tuesday, prosecutors asked the judge to delay the senator's trial, explaining that negotiations with defense lawyers had broken down. If the conflict is not resolved, one of the co-defendants will have to get a new lawyer, blah, blah, blah. But there you go. Throwing the wife down the river. I love it. Makes me happy. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. You know, there's been a lot about these people that turn around and say death to America. Bill Maher had an excellent point on this. In the next hour, I'm going to get into some of these wacko protesters a little bit more with you, but I just saw on Fox News, they had this activist who's out there saying, you know, we say death to America. It's just a chant. Doesn't mean anything. Death to America. Think about that. And we had those protests going on in Michigan. That whack job, was it Rashida Tlaib, Matt, was asked a question by Jackie Heinrich, and she said, I don't talk to Fox News. Remember?
Yeah, wouldn't say anything bad about the people chanting death to America, but was quick to admonish Fox News.
Yeah, I don't talk to Fox News. Rah! You want to say anything about the people in your district who are saying death to America? I don't talk to Fox News. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-na-na-na-na-boo-boo. I believe it was her official response. And even Bill Maher is calling this out for the insanity that it is. And Bill, I just have to tell you, man, you know, these are Democrats doing this, pal. This is, if you're still a Democrat or you're going to vote for a Democrat, you're going to keep empowering this stuff. Just for the record, take a listen.
How can I talk about American propaganda? Because there was a rally in Dearborn, Michigan, to a large Muslim population. Chant of death to America. I feel like we passed something here. You know, I mean, the left has gotten mad at me for many years for talking about Islam. I try not to do it too much because I know it makes them go crazy, and I've made my point. But it needs to be talked about now. When you start chanting death to America in America, I mean, I got it. Charlottesville was real bad when they were chanting death to the, what was it, Jews will not replace us. But on American soil, here's the Tariq Bazzi is the organizer of this. This was at the end of Ramadan, International Day of Quds, Al-Quds, which was pronounced originally by, he said, this is why Iman Khomeini, that's the Ayatollah Khomeini. Remember him, yep. The Ayatollah Khomeini? He's the good guy now. Khomeini, he would say to pour all your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Yeah, I heard this before. Not coming from America, but the great chastisement. We will chastise the infidels. But now it's coming from inside America. Sorry, got to talk about this again. He said, we live in one of the rottenest countries that ever existed on earth. It's not just genocide, Joe, that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. No, it doesn't. I like our system. This is America, for crying out loud.
Well, what about...
And there are people who see me say this. Oh, he's a conservative now. I'm a conservative. I have not changed. I always liked America and thought death through it was bad.
Unbelievable. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I just saw the press release. It is official. Congressman Jeff Van Drew announced that, yes, former and future President Donald Trump will be coming back to New Jersey for a rally in Wildwood on Saturday, May 11th. President Trump holding a rally on the beach in Wildwood will be like nothing New Jersey has ever seen, said United States Congressman Jeff Van Drew. People are still talking about the energy and excitement around President Trump's rally in January of 2020, which still holds the record for the most tickets ever requested. We have no doubt that this rally will be even bigger and better. The Trump campaign will be announcing more details in the weeks to come, including the exact timing and how to request tickets. And obviously, the president will be joining Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Remember, Van Drew was a Democrat, and he switched parties to the Republican Party. And he backed Donald Trump, and Trump came in and do that big rally for him in Wildwood. And we were live that day at Mulligan Shore Bar, and it was fantastic. It was a great day. I was in mornings back then. We started at 6 a.m. and went right through the day up until 3 p.m. because up until then, we only had shows till 3 that were local. And then we went out and talked to the crowd and, you know, chatted up people who were waiting in line and people had camped out overnight. It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience. And this time the weather's going to be really nice. We are looking to do something around that date. I don't know exactly what, but hopefully something. If I were you, I would hold those dates. I'd hold Friday, May 10th open and Saturday, May 11th open if you are interested in doing that. As far as going to rallies, I'm not a big rally guy. I'm not a big rally guy, so I'll probably just watch it on TV at the bar. But if you want to get tickets, they'll be announcing soon how you get them. And I don't call in favors. It's not how I roll. I don't do those things. I don't like doing that. I just don't like it. In all my years in politics, I've found that one of the things that I don't like doing is asking for things like tickets to rallies or political. I just don't like doing it. I don't. You know, I it's not. I don't know. I'd rather, truly, I mean this, I'd rather you go in my place and I'll watch it and hang out with whoever's couldn't get tickets at the bar. So I enjoy that better. I enjoy that more knowing that I didn't call in a favor. I didn't, you know, do anything like that. That's just me. I don't know. Call me. That's probably not old fashioned, because the old fashioned way, of course, and certainly the Jersey way, is to call in favors and get tickets right up front in the front row. But I just, that's not my thing. And they're hard to get. And that's the other thing. These tickets are hard to get. So I know that as soon as they're announced, you're going to want to get them right away. And you should. You should get them. You should try to get them as soon as possible. But I will not be at the rally. I will not be in the room or outside or whatever, because I don't want to take somebody else's spot. I don't need to. I've met Trump. I've talked to Trump. I've interviewed Trump at the Oval Office. I've been with him before. If they ask me to do something that day, of course, I'll certainly do it. Do whatever I can to help them. Duh, obviously. But I won't be taking a spot for somebody else. It's how I do things. It's just how I roll. All right. What was I going to say? I was going to say, what did you text me here, Matt? You said...
So yesterday, Fox News asked a couple of...
Cut Congress, six.
Yeah, we can just play it.
This is the mixed bag of nuts of Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Katie Porter. Mixed bag of nuts. You know when you go in there and you find out there's too many peanuts or too many of those, hey, the ones that nobody likes, the Brazil nuts, I think it is. You go, man, I don't like this nut collection, this nut assortment. It's too many freaking Brazil nuts. Nobody likes those. This bag of nuts, nobody likes any of these nuts.
At least Katie Porter is almost gone.
She ran for that
California Senate seat, lost in the primary, and now she's cooked.
Numerous House Democrat whack jobs refused to condemn the burning of the American flag and the chanting of death to America when confronted by a Fox News reporter. Cut number six.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge were burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Do you support that type of protest? Congresswoman? Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America? Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to I haven't seen these reports. I'd have to check for them myself.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her onto her next event here.
Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
If you'd like to follow up with us.
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Not really. It doesn't really deserve a follow-up. They just have to quickly turn around and say, no, we're not okay with those things. But they can't. You notice that? They can't. Oh, no, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. Got to run. Got to go to the next event. Unbelievable. All right, listen, when it comes to your lawn, there's only one choice to make, and that is Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn of America is what I'm doing right now. They are great people, and they're going to make sure that you... I just got distracted by a text from somebody about another potential breaking news story. What is this now? National Guard whistleblowers are refusing... All right, we're going to talk to Julie Kelly about January 6th in just a few minutes, but let me tell you about Natural Lawn of America. Attention span here is all over the place. For a greener, healthier lawn that's safer for your family and pets, call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years, and you're going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. Their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. This environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. They are competitively priced and they have a satisfaction guarantee. I trust the leader in organic-based lawn care, and you should too. Give them a call today. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, but must act now. The offer expires at the end of the month. That free seeding of your lawn is going to be outstanding. You're going to love it. It's going to make serious difference for you and your lawn. So schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Just call 1-800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED, or visit naturallawn.com. Choose the lawn care company that I've trusted for so long, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, listen. We got a lot to chat about before the show's over today. We are loaded up, but very, very happy to welcome back to the show my friend Julie Kelly. She is the author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Good, Rich. How are you? It's been a while. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, listen, you have an open invitation. I love having you on. I think you're brilliant. And your work over at Real Clear Investigations is outstanding. So you, anytime you want to come on, you just let me know. All right? You consider this an open invitation.
I shall. Thank you very much.
Now, yesterday, the United States Supreme Court heard arguments in whether or not to apply a reform that was done after Enron shredded documents under Sarbanes-Oxley to now charge people for exercising their First Amendment rights on January 6th. And they couldn't answer any questions, the Solicitor General of the United States, about people on the left who've done things. They couldn't answer any questions about the hypotheticals that were posed by Justice Neil Gorsuch. What's your takeaway from yesterday's Supreme Court hearing?
So this is oral arguments in a case called Joseph Fisher versus the U.S. Joseph Fisher is one of 350 January 6th defendants who has been charged by this DOJ with what you just accurately described, a post-Enron document records destroying statute, 1512C2. And this is the first time in its more than 20-year history that this obstruction statute has been used in the way DOJ has been using it, which is, again, to your point, to criminalize political dissent, turn Trump supporters into lifelong felons, and use this sort of as a warning to Americans. If you interrupt a congressional or government proceeding, one that, of course, we think is valuable, we need to protect January 6th, not anything else, then you will face this obstruction count punishable by up to 20 years in prison. So this is the first time the Supreme Court has had the opportunity to review how DOJ, in my opinion, has abused this statute. And it did sound like at least a majority of the justices were leaning towards reversing how DOJ has applied this. You have over 100 people who have already been sentenced to prison for this count and other offenses. And this will have a huge, as one former judge said, wreak havoc on the D.C. federal courthouse if SCOTUS does the right thing, in my opinion, and overturns this statute.
And what the Supreme Court would say is that the application of this statute is not in line with what Congress's intent was when it passed it. Correct, Julie?
I think the intent of the statute is one part of it, but I also think, you know, to your point, it has to deal with destroying or mutilating or concealing records in an official proceeding, meaning an investigation, right? Official proceeding in the entirety of 1512, not just this subsection, this provision 1512C2, the entirety of 1512 deals with investigations or trials or preparation for trial. Didn't mean a meeting of Congress, because of course, as Neil Gorsuch and Sam Alito and others pointed out, well, would this then apply to someone heckling, you know, or interrupting a Senate hearing, or someone who pulled a fire alarm before an important House vote, which of course got a big laugh, as he was referring to Representative Jamal Bowman, who pulled that fire alarm to delay a House critical House vote. And of course, the government, U.S. Solicitor General Elizabeth Peligar, came back and said, oh, no, that wouldn't rise to the level of this statute. And when they pressed her as to why, she really didn't have a good answer, because, of course, Rich, she's not going to come out and say, well, no, we're not going to do this to our side. I mean, Elizabeth Peligar is a Biden appointee. She clerked for Merrick Garland. She clerked for Elena Kagan. She is a Democrat. So she's not going to say, oh, yeah, sure, we're going to round up our own protesters who delayed or interrupted numerous times Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation proceedings, or, you know, the 2017 inaugural riots, or what's been happening in Washington and around the country for the past 6 months, the pro-Hamas anti-Israel demonstrations that also took place in Washington. So this just speaks, Rich, to the selective prosecution overall of January 6th defendants, a caseload that now exceeds 1,400 individuals, with this Department of Justice and FBI rounding up new defendants almost every day, if you can believe it or not.
And for things just as innocuous as walking through the rotunda, using the bathroom, taking selfies, I mean, it's just, it's really outrageous. Am I crazy, Julie, or did I see pictures on television of leftists, pro-Palestinian protesters sitting down on the floor of the Congress, of the House office buildings or Senate office buildings, disrupting the order of business? And did I not see that? Because I'm pretty sure I did.
You did see it, and you have seen it as early as, you know, recently as yesterday. They had pro-Hamas demonstrators interrupting House hearings. We've seen them unlawfully enter Capitol buildings. You're not supposed to do sit-ins or enter House office buildings to demonstrate or protest. They've done that on numerous occasions. They've interrupted Senate hearings, including the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and other committees. So why would that not count? And this was what Elizabeth Peligar didn't have a good answer for. And I think it was Sam Alito who kept pushing her, well, what does it matter if it's interrupted for 5 minutes or 6 hours, like the certification of the Electoral College on January 6th? She said, well, because it wasn't meaningful, it was minimal. And Justice Alito said, but there's no minimal word in the statute. It just says anyone who obstructs, attempts to obstruct, influence, or impede an official proceeding. Well, they're impeding it. Doesn't say it's not just obstruction, and it doesn't matter how much time it takes. If we're going to apply it here and you are taking the strictest reading of very vague language, then it's going to have to apply to all of these other instances of, to your point, First Amendment protected, for the most part, First Amendment protected political speech and activity.
Julie Kelly's with me. She's the author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. I thought Justice Clarence Thomas made an excellent point, too, when he said, you know, we've seen a lot of protests on the left. Andy McCarthy was on my show yesterday. He made a great point. I mean, that courthouse in Portland, Oregon, where they were firebombing that federal courthouse for 2 weeks, and they couldn't get any business done. I mean, you talk about disrupting an official proceeding. They couldn't get any business done. Nobody was charged with this statute. Nobody in the wake of George Floyd's death, in the summer of love, when billions of dollars of damage were caused across this country, not a single person, to my knowledge, Julie Kelly, has been charged with under this statute that's been applied to people on January 6th.
That's correct. And Elizabeth Pelligar admitted that yesterday, that no, there have only been a handful of convictions that didn't deal with document or record shredding like the statute calls for. And when she was pressed on that, she only gave a few examples that went back to people who were concealing evidence or trying to interfere in a criminal investigation.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I noticed that because that was her answer. She got, has this statute ever been applied? And she said something like, yes, somebody withheld evidence or lied. But there was no example of somebody being prosecuted for disrupting a political or official proceeding, Congress, a court, whatever. Not one example. She couldn't give one.
She couldn't. And I think that's really what is going to get her and DOJ, deservedly so, in a lot of hot water with the court. And look, even the appellate ruling that came down last year, and this is really what's at issue in Fisher, was a 2-1 split decision. And Florence Pan, the Biden appointee who authored this decision, noted that this was a novel use of 1512C2. Everyone knows this is the first time it's ever been used this way. And now everyone knows this will be the last time it will ever be used this way. If the Supreme Court comes back and gives its imprimatur on this, that will really be a dangerous escalation in this very untrustworthy, weaponized, politicized Department of Justice, then escalating, cherry-picking other vague federal statutes to criminalize political dissent and eviscerate the 1A rights of Americans, depending on what political party they are aligned with.
Yeah, and it's also really antithetical to the idea that of equal justice under the law. The fact that it's not I don't think it should be applied to anybody. But I mean, the fact that it's not being applied uniformly is very problematic. And then the fact that there's no limiting principle here. There's no way to limit it. Like Amy Coney Barrett had a great point. She said, what happens? I mean, you had all these lunatics who were blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. And I mean, she didn't use the word lunatic. I'm using it. But, you know, shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and shutting down the Brooklyn Bridge and or making people late for their flights at O'Hare Airport. What if one of those people was a member of Congress and they couldn't get to vote? Would they not be charged with this? Would they not be disrupting an official proceeding? And again, the Solicitor General danced around that, too.
She did. And then she went back to, well, you have to prove that there was intent and that it was corrupt intent. And I think it went back to blockading Washington. You know, what if they shut down the streets or bridges accessing Washington, D.C., and members of Congress, to your point, couldn't get there for important votes or just to conduct business? She came back, well, you have to show intent. And I think it was either Gorsuch or Alito again who said, well, but that's exactly what they were intended to do.
Right.
I mean, of course that's what they intend. But I'll give you the flip side. I mean, most of the protesters who have been charged with 1512C2 had no intention of shutting down the joint session of Congress. They were saying stop the steal, right? They wanted the vetting process that day. They didn't want Congress to shut down. They didn't want to halt the proceedings. They wanted, number one, Mike Pence to do what Donald Trump had advised, or they wanted what else was happening that day, which was a full vetting. It would be almost 12 hours of members of Congress and senators debating the outcome of the election in these swing states. So a lot of them, you couldn't prove that they had an intent to go in there and stop the saying stop the steal is different than saying shut down Congress,
right.
Shut down the count. A lot of them said they were very disappointed that what happened that day resulted in halting the joint session and the counting of certificates and the vetting of voting fraud in those states. Because then afterwards, even senators and members of Congress who were going to participate in that came back and change their mind. So the intent would be far more provable, say, for the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel demonstrations across the country and in Washington than most of the 350-plus J6ers who face this felony count.
Well, that's a great point, because the goal of A15, for example, the other day was literally to disrupt the flow of commerce, to disrupt capitalism. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to disrupt the day. That was their goal. On January 6th, people wanted what was the law at the time, the Electoral Count Act, for the Congress, which was within their legal right to reject the results of the Electoral College and send it back to the states. they wanted that outcome and they were protesting. Now, how do you differentiate somebody that day who was inside the rotunda with an American flag and a MAGA hat from the images we've seen on the news countless times of the people who were kicking in windows or doing anything else that would be akin to violence? How does that get distinguished here?
Well, there are roughly 55 to 60 convictions now on 1512C2 of people who engaged in no violence. There are other 1512 convictions of people who then only faced another civil disorder felony, which is only punishable by, I think, up to 5 years in prison. So there are, I think, roughly 100 or so that have 1512C2, an assault on officer charge. Joseph Fisher has an assault on officer charge with this 1512C2 that was dismissed in his case. That's how it got to the Supreme Court. But look, the overwhelming majority of the 1,400 now individuals face either 1512C2, civil disorder, or low-level misdemeanors. The most common misdemeanor is trespassing at the restricted grounds because Mike Pence was a Secret Service protectee. And the government came back late stage and said, well, this was restricted grounds because he's a Secret Service protectee. Another common low-level petty offense, parading in the Capitol. So,
but it's a public building. I mean, it's literally the people's house.
Yes, it is. And that's correct.
I have a hard time with the idea of trespassing. How anybody could be trespassing in the people's house? They didn't declare January 6th to be a restricted day. That's not what it was. I mean, they do that with a lot of events where the president's going to be at or something like that. But that's not what they did that day. It's a public building. It is open to the public. It is the people's house. So how can you argue that you're trespassing inside a public building that is the symbolic house of the people? I don't understand that.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is another charge that is before the appellate court right now. And this is this common trespassing charge being on restricted grounds. And this is probably going to get kicked back from the appellate court to the district court and say that these defendants, the judge or the government, has to prove that they knew the building and the ground, not just the building, the grounds were restricted and off limits. Because Mike Pence was there or was going to be there.
Right.
This is the statute, one of the statutes that they've dusted off. So 1512C2 is not the only instance or example of the government taking statutes that have never been used in this manner before and only applying them to J6ers. There are quite a few others, which speaks to the overall selective prosecution of January 6ers. They are political prisoners regardless of what they did. Even if they assaulted police officers, a big no-no, broke a window, you cannot find similar cases, comparable cases, charges, and certainly prison time for anyone else in Washington, D.C., a crime-infested city, where you could find similar punishments that you see handed down routinely against J6ers.
And what about their right to counsel? I mean, I've heard stories about that where they've been denied right to counsel. There's been a lot of issues of them not having attorneys present. I mean, where does all that stand?
At the very beginning, you know, these J6ers, first of all, many of them have no criminal record. This was their first foray into the legal and judicial system. God help them, because they went into they went into hell. I call it the legal judicial circle of hell, Washington, D.C., the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, the FBI, and the D.C. federal courts. So it was very hard for them to find any attorney who would represent them. So they were stuck with public defenders. Now, there were a few good ones, but think of the political mindset of your average public defender.
Right.
I mean, I reported early on, and I have this in my book, of public defenders, far left radicals, who were trying to reprogram their clients, give them lists of books to read that demonstrated, you know, how racist America is, and basically cleanse their mind of supporting Donald Trump or even believing that the 2020 election was stolen. Now, because the narrative is kind of falling apart, because they have treated these individuals so harshly, and because, Rich, we're getting facts, actual truths out of what happened on January 6th that have been covered up by the government, the House, January 6th committee, and certainly the media, a lot of questions about other actors who were involved, other agencies who were involved. So I think it's getting a little easier for defendants to find representation. But here's the problem. Here's the Hobson's choice. You either go before a D.C. jury made up of jurors, not only who almost unanimously voted for Joe Biden, but have an unusually hostile view of January 6th and the people involved, which is why DOJ, by the way, has a 100% conviction rate 110-plus trials later before D.C. juries. Not a single January 6th defendant has been fully exonerated by a D.C. jury 2 years, now more than 2 years into the trials. Or you could plead guilty and hope for mercy from one of these D.C. judges. And if you plead, you have a better chance of getting a lower sentence. So that's the option that these defendants are faced with. And, you know, it's destroyed a lot of lives. It has ended lives. At least four J6ers have committed suicide. It's destroyed marriages, families, bankrupted people. Some people, their own parents have alienated them. I mean, this is such a destructive prosecution. And the bloodlust from this government, from this DOJ, and many of the judges in Washington is something that would horrify Americans, and it makes me sick every time that I see it.
Julie Kelly, thank you, my friend. At some point, we'll have to come back and have you on and talk about poor Ray Epps, who's such a victim of a vast right-wing conspiracy.
I know.
Before I let you go, I mean, that was, of all of the PR propaganda things that I've seen over the last couple of years, that 60 Minutes piece on him and that New York Times story on him on poor Ray Epps and what they're putting him through, the guy who was literally saying, tomorrow we go in the Capitol, and now he's been framed as, Julie, I still can't believe that they actually put those pieces out, 60 Minutes in the New York Times with a straight face.
It was so stunning to me because of course that got traction. Then you had Adam Kinzinger and you had Liz Cheney piping in, and you had all of these people now sympathetic to a man that in every other instance, they consider these individuals domestic terrorists, right? They're insurrectionists. They're traitors. They want them behind bars for life. But suddenly Ray Epps is a sympathetic figure.
The guy who's saying tomorrow we go in the Capitol, we go in. And they're yelling, Fed, the crowd's chanting Fed. And people around him go, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And that's the guy who's the hero who's been victimized in all this. It's just unbelievable. All right, my friend, listen, we'll get you back on. Check out Julie's book, January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protests to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Thanks, Julie. I really appreciate it.
Great to talk with you, Rich. Thanks so much.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right. The big story of the day, though, brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. The trial of Alejandro Mayorkas, that official proceeding was disrupted by Chuck Schumer, who decided that they were not going to do their constitutional obligation and have a trial as per Article 1 of the United States Constitution. Dr. Mike Veneri of VeneriaDental.com. All right, big fourth and final hour for you coming up. Joe Biden tells another major lie about a family member, shocking, and some of the craziest protesters you've heard yet. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off. and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.